At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. Co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. Hello, guys.
Hey, Charch.
Howdy, Jones.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
And Scott Fish also. Yeah.
No, you said my name.
Back. Yeah, Scott, it has been a little while. Lots to get to over the course of this show. We will, as always, get to the 9 players upon whom you can take a chance. We will answer 3 tough questions. We'll give you some premature speculation, and we'll break down every matchup Fantasy Football Weekly style with letter grades on all the players you care about. And we begin with the Eagles taking on the Colts. Scott, Eagles need a bounce back performance here.
Yeah.
Colts
squeaky wheel. Maybe a squeaky wheel game performance.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because
yes,
you know,
it could be.
No, don't do it.
It's in place right there. And who would be the squeaky wheel player here?
Yeah, I think it's probably got to be A.J. Brown after his kind of dud last week,
but
the one-catch game.
Did he squeak?
I don't think he squeaked, but I think...
Now you can't have a squeaky wheel with those squeaks.
I think the whole team is squeaking. They're just not doing it publicly. They're squeaking behind the scenes.
Speculative squeaking.
Yes, we got an automatic A on Jalen Hurts. You aren't benching him anyway. Colts isn't a great matchup. They don't allow a ton of yards passing, but 6 of the 10 quarterbacks they faced had multiple scores. They've given up 3 rushing scores. Hurts tends to do that. So A grade there. I got a B grade on A.J. Brown. You're not benching him. He had a dud last week, as we just mentioned. I would expect the Colts to run a ton and try to emulate what Washington did, but Brown had 5 touchdowns in the 3 previous games, and Philly's angry, and that squeaky wheel, man. I got it.
It's not A.J. Brown. He's got to say something to be a squeaky wheel.
I don't know. The Colts are number 1 against the slot, though, which is where Brown often plays. So that's why I only have a B grade. I think it's going to be a lot of running. And over to Devontae Smith, I have a bench grade on him. Over the last 5 weeks, only 2 wide receivers have topped 50 yards on the Colts. That was Terry McLaurin. We don't have Matt here for the sounder. No, we should get that on the board. And Devontae Adams, and it took 8+ targets for each to get there. I think Brown is the more likely guy to have a good day. It's not outside the realm of the possibilities, but the number 2 wide receiver has done almost nothing against the Colts. The best game from a number 2 wide receiver against the Colts was 53 yards, and that took 8 targets.
Wow.
Devontae Smith doesn't usually get that kind of volume.
And Smith's such a boom or bust guy, and this feels like a bust game.
It does.
I'm with you. Very dangerous.
It does. Just keep an eye on what the tight end situation happens. It might be 6'7" Tyree Jackson that takes that role. It might be Stoll. Keep an eye on it, but I have him on the bench for this
week. But don't you think that with Goddard out, there are going to be a lot more targets to spread around?
I don't know about
here.
A lot. lot,
Smith
but some
get fed that way.
Once again, I think Indianapolis keeps this game on the ground and keeps it a slow pace where maybe it's not as many targets as a normal game.
So you're telling me you like Miles Sanders a lot?
I do like Miles Sanders. I got a B grade on Sanders. The Colts D is allowing the most running back touches per game against them at over 30, but only at 3.8 yards per carry. But the volume should be there for the clear number one in a potent offense he's being very effective with his lower touch counts and getting goal line work.
And the weird thing is, no catches for three straight games for Miles Sanders.
I know.
He can catch. They don't throw to him.
Yeah, that's part of the B grade. Not a lot of catching, and he's only topped 80 yards twice, and it took 17-plus touches to get there. Mm-hmm. So just a B grade for him. Kenneth Gainwell, I have on the bench. I at first thought, the Colts have allowed the fourth most receptions, third most receiving yards. That originally had me thinking Gainwell's a sneaky play here.
He doesn't catch that much either.
The Eagles have under 100 receiving yards total out of their running backs in this entire season. Not even a single performance over 22 yards.
Okay.
They don't throw.
Agreed, but
to
again,
the runners.
With Goddard out.
Right,
you know,
right.
Possible. There might be a spot somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible. Yep. It's possible. On the other side, Matt Ryan had a fine day against one of the easiest QB matchups possible last week, but he only threw it 28 times, and it seems like this new Jeff Saturday offense is going to run a lot.
Well, that is the ticket to beating the Eagles, and it is doing it on the ground.
Exactly, and Washington laid that blueprint, so with low volume, I don't want Ryan in my starting lineup. I will say I do have C grades on both Pittman and Campbell because Ryan in his last three games is hyper targeting those two and basically just those two.
Yes.
26 targets for Pittman, 34 for Pittman, 29 for Campbell in those three games. Everybody else, just 14 total targets. Guys who have gotten that kind of target volume have been in the mid-60s to 100 yards against the Eagles. I think we can see those two get 8 to 10 targets and decent C-level games. I don't know what to make of the tight ends. They're all switching up, and now it's Kyle Granson's turn. So
right.
I have them on the bench right now.
Woods has been ruled out of this game. Yeah. So if you were desperate for a dart throw,
and
here,
I do think Granson's starting to emerge, but it's one game. It's one game. So I'm not going to anoint it the changing of the guard here in this one.
Well, John, when the changing of the guard comes, it's coming for Jelani Woods.
Okay, there it is.
Might be like 2024.
Hey, he was my number two tight end coming out of this rookie class. I like him a lot. Automatic A. Is that a thing?
That's
Automatic
a guy. A? It sounds like a guy, doesn't it? Automatic A.
Oh, man. Automatic A for Jonathan Taylor. They're running a ton. Washington laid the blueprint. We've talked about this a bunch. I don't need to talk about Jonathan Taylor.
No, you don't. But just let me say this. How great was that breakaway run from Jonathan Taylor last week that brought you back to last year? Like,
yes.
You know, that he was doing that once a half last year.
Yeah.
And to just finally get the breakaway touchdown.
Yep.
Oh,
we were sitting here worried that he'd be shut down, that ankle would bother him all year. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Apparently
okay.
He's all right.
All right. Yeah.
Let's go to the Browns taking on the Bills, Brian. This game would have been far more interesting had it been played in Buffalo.
No, it would not. From a fantasy perspective, we want points. Yeah. Reality football wants snow.
I love the blizzard games.
No.
Both of the running backs would have been shorter than the snowfall, though. So
there's something to that. It would have been all Nick Chubb go straight ahead. I was very excited. But now we're going to be in the antiseptic Ford Field.
Perfect weather conditions.
Yeah, whatever.
Suited for a shootout. I'm much happier this way. But we'll start with the Cleveland side and Nick Chubb, who will not be plowing through the snow, giving him an A. Since week 8, the Bills are allowing 157 rushing yards per game to running backs, the second most in the league during that span. Chubb is averaging 5.7 yards per carry this year and 18 carries per game, which is a lot. He's only seen 20 carries or more three times, though, so far. But in each of those three games, Cleveland has won. And you want to know how many wins Cleveland has?
Three.
So feed Nick Chubb in this game. Also, definitely worth noting, linebacker Tremaine Edmonds has been ruled out for the Bills, which bodes very well for Chubb.
Outstanding. Also, very good coverage at linebacker, and that could affect David Njoku if he ends up playing.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Bills' defense, but not as scary as it was earlier in the season. I still have Kareem Hunt on the bench. Over his last four games, Hunt has gotten double-digit carries just once. He's topped one catch just once during that same span. And there's not really a pass-catching angle here. The Bills have allowed one running back to top 30 receiving yards, and they've surrendered just two scores to the position through the air. Over the wide receivers, Amari Cooper gets a B. I was going to mention his horrific home and away splits, but can't really do that now. It's kind of a neutral site.
No point.
What I do know is cornerback Tre'Davious White will not make his return for the Bills. It seems like we've been waiting on that week in and week out, but that bodes well for Cooper as well. And Buffalo has surrendered five wide receiver touchdowns and two 100-yard receiver performances over the last four games. So a B for Cooper and a C for Donovan Peoples-Jones. Might take a chance on me. Wide receiver from last week.
I think you get a peacock for that.
99 yards. You can get 100, but we'll take five for 99.
How about a touchdown? Donovan
he has yet to score.
That would be nice.
But at least 70 receiving yards in five of his last six games. But most importantly, I did the research here, guys. He was born in Detroit.
Oh.
Went to University of Michigan. This is like a platinum homecoming. It's not like just the college.
This is a neutral site homecoming.
This is born and raised. Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not playing in the enemy stadium. You're playing in a neutral site stadium where all your family can come.
So it supersedes home field advantage.
Who want you to fail.
We're moving it up to a B.
It's the ultimate
I'm going to a B.
Homecoming.
Yeah, I'm getting too excited.
I'm
almost deep-pantsed right now. I'm so excited about this homecoming. So a B for
DPJ. Are you
DPJ-pantsed?
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to the tight ends now with David Njoku. Give him a C. Sounds like he'll make his return this week. The Bills are allowing more than five catches per game to tight ends, which is kind of a mouth-watering production in the tight end wasteland. So we'll take that. So a C for Njoku if he goes. And if he somehow sits, I would give that C to Harrison Bryant like I did last week. And lastly, Jacoby Brissett, borderline C, but I have him on the bench. The Bills have surrendered zero or one passing touchdowns in seven of nine games. Only Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers were able to throw for multiple scores against them, but both had two. So Buffalo hasn't even allowed three touchdowns yet this year, and mostly zero or one. So Brissett on the bench over the Bills side. Devin Singletary gets a B over his last four. His volume has been on the rise, averaging 13 carries as opposed to only eight through the first 5 weeks. The Browns were just torched for three total touchdowns by Miami's back, so Singletary should be a solid start. And of course, Stephon Diggs is a solid start. He gets an A. Even though the Browns just held Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to a combined 110 yards, and no lone receiver has topped 70 yards against Cleveland over the last four, they have surrendered five wide receiver touchdowns during that span. So an A for Diggs, and for those reasons, those same reasons, you got to give Gabe Davis a B. You play him when he's healthy, and he is this week, so a solid start for him. Not a solid start for Dawson Knox, but I'll still give him a C because, again, it's the tight end wasteland. There aren't many options out there. There they are.
I will never forget on our SiriusXM show, our producer had me sing that tight end wasteland to Bob O'Reilly.
Tight end wasteland. I wasn't on that. I feel like I was on that show. But anyway,
I feel like you were.
Anyway, we don't care about SiriusXM radio here. So you can roll with Knox in a pinch. But temper your expectations. The Browns are allowing just three catches and 44 yards per game to tight ends, and they've surrendered just one score to the position. And lastly, Josh Allen gets an A. The elbow doesn't seem like it's that much of a concern anymore.
No, but
somewhat of a concern.
Here's the thing that you need to know about Josh Allen is zero designed runs last week because of the elbow. None clear. You know, a week later, is that going to be still in place? No designed runs takes some of the ceiling off Josh Allen.
He still reeled off some.
He had 84 yards in scrambles, but it's not, it's not the same as the designed runs. And so I think a little of that ceiling that you normally get with Josh Allen is not in place here. When we come back, take a chance on me. Nine players, not normally in your starting lineup. Many of these guys available on the waiver wire. Find out who they are when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Take a chance on me. Nine players who you would not normally start. Many of these guys available on the waiver wire. We begin at the quarterback position. Scott Fish, who you got?
I have Jimmy Garoppolo. In his last four games versus the Cardinals, since he's been with the 49ers for those interdivisional battles, he averages 331 yards and three scores per game. He blows up on them every time, owns the Cards. Pair that with the fact the Cardinals rank third worst against fantasy quarterbacks, giving up the fourth most yards, fifth most passing touchdowns, and also being bottom 10 in many other metrics. I got Jimmy G.
I like it. Brian, your take a chance at me quarterback.
I got Kenny Pickett, at home against the Bengals, who should see the return of cornerback Mike Hilton, but corner Trey Flowers and safety Dax Hill are banged up, might not play. Cincy's best corner, Chidobe Awuzie, certainly won't play, so I'm liking Pickett a lot this week. The Bengals have only allowed multiple passing touchdowns once. That was Baker Mayfield in Week 9. That's not great, but listen to the quarterbacks the Bengals have faced this season. Mitch Trubisky, Cooper Rush, Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, and Jacoby Brissett.
That's all? That's the full list?
There's Lamar Jackson. They knocked out Tua, but okay, like, right. Basically Pickett might be the best pass thrower they faced all season. So I like Pickett. Let's go.
All right. I'm going to take Danny J as my take a chance at me quarterback against Chicago. Opposing quarterbacks averaging a healthy 266 yards and almost two touchdowns against the Lions. But the big angle on Daniel Jones is on the ground. Detroit has been housed by mobile quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, Geno Smith, Justin Fields, who combined for four touchdowns against the Lions. Fields rolled up 147 rushing yards against the Lions last week. And still, I like Jones, both air and ground this week.
Nice.
Let's go to the running back position. Scott.
I have my good buddy Tyler Allgeier. I don't know if you can call him good buddy.
Yeah.
This is the fourth best matchup he's got this week against the Bears, who just got rid of Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn to make it even easier. They've allowed seven running back touchdowns in just the last 3 weeks. You might think the Atlanta backfield seems a bit of a mess, but Allgeier is out-snapping him, out-snapping Cordarrelle Patterson, out-touching him. He's getting more pass game work than Patterson, who weirdly only has six catches for 39 yards on the year.
Wow.
He's gained nothing in the pass game, Patterson is. Allgeier's getting more of the work. He gets almost 13 touches every single game. I got Tyler Allgeier in a great matchup against the Bears.
All right. You're running back.
I'm going Jalen Warren again, who I used last week, and he was serviceable. Over the last 2 weeks, Warren has averaged 10.5 touches and 76 combo yards per game. He's pretty good. as further evidenced by the fact he's 15th in yards after contact per attempt among running backs and is ranked 5th in Pro Football Focus's elusive rating. And lastly, the Bengals have softened against the run since Week 5, allowing the 6th most rushing yards per game and the 2nd highest explosive run rate. Explosive output should be here for all this explosiveness.
Really, there's a lot of explosiveness here. Isaiah Pacheco is your new lead back for the Chiefs since gaining the starting work in back-to-back weeks. Last week, a career-high 16 carries.
Yes.
Now, you may be thinking, that's not that much, 16 carries. The previous starter, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, had topped 16 carries once in his last 24 games. So this is a pretty strong statement by Andy Reid, who has clearly finally shaken off the sunk cost fallacy of the first round blunder that was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who got just 4 snaps last week.
Well, and the Chiefs made a claim on Eno Benjamin. They didn't get him.
Yeah,
but they were ready to kick him to the curb. Oh, yeah, that was
that
it.
Might have been. Well, Ronald Jones, if he's even still on roster, probably would have been the guy out. How is Pacheco doing so far? 4.7 yards per carry is pretty good. His 82 yards last week were the most by a Chiefs runner in 26 games. Great matchup this week. Los Angeles has surrendered 170 rushing yards per game to running backs over their last 3 games, and they rank 29th in run defense by Pro Football Focus. Isaiah Pacheco. Let's go to the receivers. Scott Fish, who you got?
Yeah, in the receiving game, I have Kadarius Toney, who we will definitely talk about later. But also, MVS is currently Marquez Valdez-Scantling is sick right now. Juju Smith-Schuster has been ruled out already. Mecole Hardman is out and on IR. It's basically Toney and Sky Moore and Justin Watson for the Kansas City Chiefs going up against a Chargers defense that is bottom 10 in both receptions allowed and receiving touchdowns allowed to wide receivers.
All right. Brian, you're taking a chance for me, receiver.
I didn't envision this. I was hoping to be giving him A grades at this point in the season, but I have Allen Robinson at the Saints. We all know Cooper Kupp is on IR, so there are vacated targets everywhere.
Plenty, yes.
I think it's over 30% of the Rams' targets are now vacated with Kupp on IR. The Saints have also been awaiting the return of cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, but he has been ruled out for the remainder of the season,
So
that's not happening. Robinson had a 34% slot rate this season before Kupp went down, so those snaps should go up. He'll also get plenty of work on the outside. I just think they get creative with him, or they try to. The Saints have allowed the 10th most yards per game to opposing wide receivers. There are a ton of wide receivers on the Rams now, but Robinson's my guy.
I think Deontay Johnson counts as a take a chance on me receiver at this point. He has not scored this year. He's gone 9 games.
Well, he and Robinson were going like in the 4th round late in summer draft. So, yeah. If I use A-Rob, you can use D-Jo. Yeah,
I think that counts. Although, granted, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett have not thrown for multiple scores in any game, so it's probably much more on the quarterback position than on Johnson himself. He played Cincinnati, this week's opponent, in Week 1, put up a decent game, 7 catches, 55 yards. His primary defender, and you alluded to this earlier, rookie backup Cam Taylor-Britt, Brian, who allowed a score last week, and he's giving up a perfect passer rating in the 3 games in which he has substituted for injured cornerback Chidobe Awuzie. So we'll try Deontay Johnson. Let's see if we can get him in the end zone first time this year. Let's go from a Deontay to a Deonta as we look at the Panthers taking on the Ravens.
Well done.
Deonta Foreman is the Panther you care about the most. 3 big games and 1 dud game since the Christian McCaffrey trade. I'm actually a little bit worried about how much a healthy Chuba Hubbard is going to eat into his workload.
Mm-hmm.
But if Foreman's anywhere near his average of 20 carries per game, he's going to be just fine here. And let me just explain a little bit more about why I'm worried. So Hubbard came back. He was questionable going into last week's game. That was a Thursday night game, and it was in the rain. And I think they just didn't want to risk the ankle injury on a slick surface when you've got a big power back like Foreman running forward. So they gave Foreman all the work. I think Hubbard's going to eat into this workload much, much more than people realize, and I'm nervous about that with Foreman here. Baltimore has yet to allow running back to top 91 rushing yards. but has allowed four touchdowns in the last 4 weeks. So hopefully Foreman can get goal line work here and he gets a B grade. Hubbard is startable. I've got the C grade on him for the reasons I just talked about. I think he is going to get more use than most people realize. Also, medium, basically a neutral style matchup. And the last time Hubbard was healthy, he ran for 63 yards on a touchdown. So startable here. And then the only other Panther you care about is DJ Moore. Last week's four catch, 29-yard performance against the league's worst pass defense does not give you a lot of confidence in starting Moore this week against Baltimore, coming off a bye and with Baker Mayfield under center. In five full games with Baker Mayfield, DJ Moore is averaging 39 yards and 0.2 touchdowns. That's it. I think the only way you can rationalize starting Moore, who I've got a bench grade on, is if you believe the Ravens will jump to a big early lead and it's going to be all passing for the rest of the game. But I don't see that I don't necessarily see that happening because the Ravens offense just hasn't done that much this year. So DJ Moore, bench grade. Let's go to the Baltimore side. Speaking of underwhelming offenses, as I alluded to, and I hate to sound like a broken record because I do Baltimore a lot and I've talked about Lamar Jackson many times in the show. The passing just isn't going very well, and his rushing doesn't automatically make up for it. Get this. From week four forward, Lamar Jackson is quarterback 22.
That feels like a guy you should have sabotaged drop a week ago. Or two weeks ago
when we were talking about it. Absolutely. His average game since then is 169 passing yards, one passing touchdown, 65 rushing yards, and no rushing touchdowns. That's Lamar Jackson's average game over the last, effectively, 6 weeks. Panthers secondary took a huge loss with the injury to star cornerback Dante Jackson, who's done for the year after suffering a torn Achilles. But Baltimore's lack of wideout talent is just so thin. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that Jackson's going to bounce back here. I can do no more than a B grade on Jackson and drop it to a C grade if Mark Andrews does not play.
Yeah.
So let's talk through Andrews. Still working his way through knee and shoulder injuries. Looks like he's headed for a game-time decision. The Ravens desperately need him, and he's got strong individual matchups if he does play. Safety Miles Hartsfield allows the most receptions and yards of any safety in the league. And linebacker Shaq Thompson has allowed the sixth most receptions and seventh most yards of any linebacker in coverage this season. So if Andrews starts, I'm giving him a B grade. If he doesn't go and you inject Isaiah Likely, we'll give him a C grade if Andrews does not go. All right. All of the receivers are on the bench. What a total disaster these guys are. Get this. The entire Baltimore position group is averaging 65 receiving yards since Rashad Bateman's injury. 65 divided three ways tells you why you're not starting Prochet, Duvernay, Robinson, any of those guys. Then, let's go to the running game. Gus Edwards gets a C grade. Might not be back to a full workload off his hamstring injury, but in the same situation we saw earlier this year, the Ravens instantly loaded him up with 16 carries. And in that one full game, he led the running backs with four red zone carries and rewarded Greg Roman's confidence with two touchdowns in that game. The Panthers have seen the fifth most rushing attempts, which has led them to surrendering the sixth most rushing yards and the sixth most touchdowns to opposing backs. Gus Edwards gets a C grade on the prospects of a touchdown. And Kenyon Drake can also be started with a C grade and bump him up to a B grade if it turns out Gus can't go. And even if Gus plays, though, he is startable in this game. He'll need to score from distance, though, as Gus likely gets goal line carries. Drake probably gets more total carries in this game.
The Ravens wide receivers as a whole have 845 yards.
That's it. Gosh.
I mean, Tyreek Hill. Hold on. Marquise Brown has 485 yards. He's played in six games. He's probably on pace for more receiving yards
than the whole team he left.
Yeah.
All right.
But that traded him. He didn't leave them.
That sounds right. Scott.
Yes.
Bears Falcons. Let's see if we can knock this thing down in about 3.5-4 minutes.
Okay. Well, Justin Fields is going to get an A grade. The QB1 back-to-back weeks is almost an auto A right now with his rushing upside.
I figured this out this week.
Yeah.
I've been ranking guys for 25 years.
Yeah.
Don't believe I've ever ranked a Bears quarterback as my number one play going into a week.
Okay.
Until this week. First time in 25 years.
Yeah, against that Atlanta defense.
One quick angle, sorry. No one has mentioned this. The Falcons probably could have taken Justin Fields last year, and it would have made sense.
Okay.
Grooming the quarterback of the future.
Revenge.
Took Kyle Pitts instead. Oh. Spike game, oh. Justin Fields.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spike game over there. Okay. It's an easy A against a bottom six pass defense. Mooney, I got a B grade on, is still the only startable wide receiver for the Bears. Claypool's only playing about a third of the snaps. No one else is really a good start there. This is the number one easiest matchup for opposing wide receivers. Opposing wide receivers specifically average 7 catches for 96 yards and a score against the Falcons. That's really Mooney's role in this offense. We'll see if he gets there, but he's had double-digit fantasy days in 3 of the last 4. You should feel pretty good about a start here. Cole Kmet, A grade. 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games is totally sustainable. That's just, it's absolutely going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but the Falcons are allowing 6 catches for 60 yards to tight ends on average this year, but only just 1 score. So we'll see how that mashes up. It's hard to tell, but 4 to 5 catches and 40 to 70 yards feels safe in this matchup here for Kmet, A grade. Over to David Montgomery. Somehow there are 3 A-grade Bears. Man. How is this possible with Kmet and
Bears
Fields?
Bears quietly are a top 5 offense
and
right
David
now.
David Montgomery with Khalil Herbert now on IR. Montgomery is going to get the overwhelming majority of the backfield. Treston Ebner is the only other back they have on roster who has had a touch this year. In Montgomery's missed game, Herbert took it 20-plus touches. I'm going to guess it's going to be similar with Herbert gone. Montgomery's going to flip it and take 20-plus touches. He has 15-plus touches in 7 games, that extra workload, against a team that has allowed the 4th most yards in the last 3 weeks, the 10th worst fantasy defense on the season, and 11 running back scores in 10 games. Mm. A grade for David Montgomery this week. Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah.
On the other side, I have a C grade on Marcus Mariota. Despite only averaging 174 yards per game passing, he tacks on 30 to 60 rushing yards nearly every game.
And he
needs it. He scored in all but 2 games, has multiple touchdowns in half his games. But other mobile quarterbacks against the Bears, like Trey Lance, Daniel Jones, even Dak Prescott, tagged the Bears for 40 to 50 yards and a score. So he gets a C grade just. And it's a 49-point over-under in Vegas. It's going to be likely to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I got Mariota with a C. Drake London with a C as well. It's been rough lately, rough. There's been random pop-offs by Kadarius Hodge and Damir Bird. But London is the consistent one, getting about 6 targets per game. Hasn't topped 40 yards since week 3. That is the worry. But 7 wide receivers have hit that mark in just the last 3 games against the Bears. Over that span, they're 4th worst against wide receivers, allowing the 2nd most yards. I have a C grade on London. I have a C grade on Kyle Pitts. I mean, you aren't benching him. It's Kyle Pitts. You're not. He's
You don't have a choice.
I will say he's matchup proof. He's matchup proof, though. Good matchup, bad matchup. He'll get you 2 catches for 20 to 30 yards. Given 4 teams on bye and the injuries to Ertz and Goddard and Everett, he's startable. C grade. Plus. The only 2 tight ends that had 5 targets against the Bears had good games, and Pitts gets over that. And the Bears have allowed 2 touchdowns to tight ends in the last 3 weeks, so there's some optimism there.
Were those targets catchable for those other tight ends? Unlike the targets at Kyle Pitts.
I knew you couldn't let it go.
Kyle Pitts does not get any catchable targets. But Tyler Allgeier was my running back take-a-chance-on-me player. He's the only running back I'd start in this one.
Not Cordero Patterson.
Nope, not Patterson. Not the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, it's the usage is inexplicable right now.
Inexplicable.
I want to believe Patterson's going to bounce back and become more of a workhorse, but we haven't seen it yet.
Nope.
The world would be a better place if the Falcons did take Justin Fields and then Kyle Pitts got to go somewhere else.
Well, maybe
I'll die on that hill.
Right. Oh, no. Tyler Allgeier did not start himself this week.
You want to change your mind? I'll give you a chance to rescind this. You've got a whole show to go.
No. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
When we come back, New York Jets taking on the Patriots. We'll find out what you can do with elements of the Jets passing game, including Garrett Wilson in this game. Will the Wilson-Wilson connection help your fantasy team? Find out when we come back.
Hey,
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts are Scott Fish. You can follow Scott on Twitter at ScottFish24.
Got it.
And you can follow Brian Johnson at BTXJ, and I am at Paul Charchi. You just got to figure out how to spell it. It's the challenge. It's the game within the game of fantasy football, figuring out how to spell my name. Back to the matchups. Jets taking on the Patriots, Brian. Jets side of this game, Michael Carter, lead back against a pretty good run defense.
It is a great run defense, and I will mention and I'll reference this game. These teams just met in Week 8, so some very recent history.
Fresh data. Was Breece Hall up or down in that game?
I'm pretty sure he was down by then.
Okay.
He was, because Michael Carter and James Robinson combined for 43 scoreless rushing yards on 12 carries in that first meeting.
Yeah.
And the Patriots have surrendered just two total touchdowns to running backs all season, so I'll give Carter a C if you're desperate. I got Robinson on the bench, but I would explore other options other than Michael Carter. But if you have to start him, go ahead. But there are other options out there, most likely. So a soft C for Carter. A C for Garrett Wilson. Opposing wide receivers are averaging a measly 11 catches and 127 yards and less than a touchdown per game as a whole against the Patriots. But Wilson had 6 catches for 115 yards in the Week 8 game, so there's some glimmer of hope there. So
they got Jalen Mills out there. He's awful. That's if you can get that matchup for Garrett Wilson, I like his prospects.
Yeah, so he got the C. Denzel Mims, who has emerged as the wide receiver too, he's on the bench, though. He did have 76 yards in that first meeting, but just saw 3 targets. I'm not chasing those numbers, so he's on the bench. But Tyler Conklin is not. He gets a B in the tight end wasteland.
Yeah.
The Patriots have surrendered the most tight end touchdowns this year. 2 of those went to Conklin in Week 8 when he also had 6 catches for 79 yards. So B for Conklin, but a B in terms of bench for Zach Wilson. He did have 355 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first meeting, but he also threw 3 picks. And in his 10 career road starts, and this game is on the road for Wilson, he's averaging 155 passing yards and has totaled 4 passing touchdowns. So he's on the bench for me. Over to the Patriots side, Ramondre Stevenson not on the bench, but just to see this week. He will split time with Damian Harris, who looks close to 100%.
He's off the injury list altogether.
And I assumed that Harris didn't play in this Week 8 game, but he did.
Hobbled, sick, something.
Yeah, but he still had 11 carries, but he played. Stevenson had a strong game regardless of Harris playing, finishing with 143 combo yards, including 7 catches in that game against the Jets, the most combo yards the Jets have allowed to a single back all season, but it's a tough matchup on paper. New York is allowing just 4 yards per carry since week three, and they've surrendered 3 total touchdowns to opposing running backs during that span. So just a C for Stevenson. I got Harris on the bench. Got to see what he does, what kind of snap percentage he sees, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's on the bench for me this week in a bad matchup. Jacoby Myers, I was close to giving a bench grade to, but I give him a C based on expected volume. Saw 12 targets in the first meeting, and turned them into 9 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. But that touchdown was just one of 2 wide receiver touchdowns the Jets have surrendered over their last 6 games. So temper your expectations for Myers, but I will start him with a C. Not starting Kendrick Bourne or Tyquan Thornton there on the bench. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith are on the bench. They combined for 4 catches, 32 yards against the Jets in week 8. The Jets have not allowed a tight end touchdown all year. Easy bench for them and easy bench for Mac Jones.
All right, let's go to the Commanders taking on the Texans in what is not a particularly sexy matchup, but does have a variety of starters in it, including Brian Robinson coming off his most impressive game of the year by a fair margin, I thought. He's getting tons of work with 20 or more carries in 2 of the last 4 games. Houston's been pummeled on the ground, seeing the most rushing attempts while allowing the most rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. In the last 4 games alone, the Texans have allowed 8 rushing scores, and 3 different backs have topped 140 rushing yards against them. This is as good as it gets for Brian Robinson. If you don't start him here, why is he on your team?
It's a good spot, yeah.
And we'll bring Antonio Gibson into this conversation. If I didn't mention it, B grade for Brian Robinson. I'm giving a C to Gibson here. You could probably talk me into a B in PPR leagues. Same easy matchup on the ground as Robinson. He just gets fewer carries. He does chip in with extra receptions, though, and J.D. McKissick's been ruled out, so he will continue to help you that way. He's also managed to find the end zone in 3 of the past 4 games, and I think he's absolutely startable, especially in a bye week here for Antonio Gibson. And then a couple other guys you care about in the passing game, probably Terry McLaurin, first and foremost.
Probably.
Red hot, thanks, ever since the switch to Taylor Heinicke. McLaurin has seen at least 43% of Washington's targeted air yards in each game since Heinicke took over. That is a huge number.
That's a lot.
The Texans have allowed a league-high 15 yards per reception to wide receivers this season. They do have better, improving cornerback play. In their last 4 games, Derek Stingley and Steven Nelson have combined to allow 4 receptions for 39 yards per game.
And I do think Stingley's been ruled out for this one, too.
Oh, so. I didn't see that. Well, that is helpful. Then
let me
double check
that while you go through.
If Stingley's out, I'd consider bumping Terry McLaurin.
Derek Stingley has been ruled out.
All right, look, I'm giving him an A grade. Taylor Heinicke comes in with a C grade here. I worry about this run heavy game plan against a bad run defense, so I don't think there's a lot of volume to be had for Heinicke. And Houston isn't going to get like way ahead and force Heinicke to throw a bunch. So the game plan just doesn't feel like a big game coming here. No quarterback has topped 2 touchdowns in a game. And only one has topped 300 yards since the opener against Houston. All right, let's go to the Houston side. If it were up to me, the whole rest of this segment and maybe the rest of the show would just be all about Damian Pierce.
Let's do it. I got time.
I'm totally game for that. Since week 3, Pierce has seen at least 20 combined carries and targets every game. And he's put up at least 100 total yards in every game but one since week 3. Pierce has also racked up the 6th most red zone carries among running backs, while the rest of the team has 1 carry in the red zone. 26-1 ratio. I love that about Damian Pierce. Mm-hmm. Washington has, though, got a very good run defense. Only Derrick Henry has eclipsed 76 rushing yards against them, and they give up just 4.2 yards per carry. The Commanders have surrendered the 4th fewest rushing touchdowns, just 4 all year. It's a tough matchup, but Pierce's volume keeps him at a B level. And by the way, his God-given talent. The only other startable Texan I've got is Nico Collins. When Collins and Brandon Cooks have been on the field together, Collins has tallied more yards in 3 of those 4 games, and he's emerging as Houston's go-to wide receiver.
Yep.
He played through his groin injury last week, but he's still maybe limited by the groin injury. Washington's secondary is much improved, and aside from Justin Jefferson, they've held mortals in check, including A.J. Brown's dud game on Monday night, so I can only get you to a C grade on Nico Collins. And guys, what do you think about this? I'm ready to just drop Brandon Cooks.
Sure.
He's lost the benefit of the doubt at this point. He scored 1 time all year.
Yeah.
He's disgruntled. He barely showed up in the box score last week, and I think Nico Collins is the go-to receiver now.
Yep.
And Davis
exactly
Mills can't support more than one receiver.
Yep.
All right.
That's exactly
right.
How
it's agreed. We're dropping Brandon Cooks.
It depends on how shallow
I'll agree, but I'm sad about it.
Yeah, that's. I think that's totally fair.
You can he went from out. Underrated every single year to possibly properly.
Maybe they want to bump his trade value up, though, in the offseason and
showcase him a little bit.
Maybe that's showcase showdown.
Lions take on the Giants, Scott.
Yes.
I know you love Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I want to start with him right off the bat. We're seeing since TJ Hockenson's been out and he's returned to health, we're starting to see what feels like a repeat of last November and December.
Are you reading what I have written down here to talk about? Because I literally
had a series of reflecting mirrors here in the studio so I can read your notes.
I was also wondering what all those cameras in my house were for. So good to know.
For the misses.
All right, wait a second. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Sun God, has 30 targets in the last three games. The volume's back to those league-winning levels. Over the last 3 weeks, the Giants, actually, let's start here. The Giants on the season have been a top 10 pass D against wide receivers. But over the last 3 weeks, they're third worst.
Wow.
They've allowed six different receivers over 50 yards. They're averaging about 186 yards and a score to wide receivers per game. And it's not even like huge studs. It's the Jags and the Seahawks and the Texans are blowing them up at the wide receiver position. I have an A grade on Amon-Ra. I do have Jared Goff on the bench, though. Giants allowing 230 yards per game. It's not a lot despite what the wide receivers are doing. They've given up just 10 passing touchdowns in nine games. As for the tight ends, you're not starting the Brock Wrights and the world.
No, we are not.
Yeah, let's go over to the running backs where it gets a little more complicated.
Yeah.
I'm going to start here. Jamal Williams missed some practices this week with an illness. I think he's likely to push through and go, and he'll be fine. DeAndre Swift logged his first full week of practice since coming back from injury. He's been limited in previous weeks. Even last week, Dan Campbell said, we're going to work him in more. And so he's been splitting snaps with Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
This week is the first week. None of those comments are out there. He had a full week of practice. I'm not saying DeAndre Swift is back. I'm saying you should feel a little bit better this week, finally, but still not great, just the way it's looked. So I have a B grade on Jamal Williams, a C grade on Swift. Williams scoring nine times in nine games.
The
Giants have only given up four rushing scores. Swift, I got him starting because of that pass game work and how efficient he is with the ball when he gets it. But the volume is on Williams' side, so I have the B grade on him. By the way, the Giants allowing 5.4 yards per carry and 11.2 yards per reception to running backs. Those are both bottom five in the league.
That's bad.
The only thing that keeps the Giants up high in the rankings is 22 total running back touches against the Giants per game. That's league low. It's volume. That's why their rankings look good. It's volume. When they get touches, running backs get touches, they get massive amounts of yards. Over on the Giants side, Daniel Jones was your take a chance on me player getting it done through the air and ground, I believe you said.
Yes.
Darius Slayton, I have a C grade on. Despite only four targets last week, he made the absolute most of them. He's the only guy you can really trust with targets of 4, 6, and 6 in his last three. The matchup against the Lions was great earlier in the year. Last 3 weeks, not as great. Lazard, topped 57 yards, and it took 10 targets. Slayton plays 83% outside. He might see some Okuda, but I don't think they're going to shadow him. And if anyone's going to score for them at the wide receiver, tight ends, et cetera, if Daniel Jones throws a touchdown, it's probably to Slayton. So we'll give him the C. Saquon Barkley, A grade.
Obviously.
Lions allowing 5 yards per carry, giving up 11 rushing touchdowns in nine games. A grade. I'm not even going to go over it.
No, it goes without saying that Saquon Barkley is an elite start.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Christian Watson, guys. 5 touchdowns in 2 games, and you know he has added a spark to an otherwise struggling passing offense. Although it would help if Aaron Rodgers could like throw a pass.
Yeah, and he's doing it on
misfiring all over the field.
He has 5 touchdowns on 11 targets too,
that makes me very skeptical. Yeah. You know, when you see that kind of, you know, that's pretty out of whack and not sustainable if you're not getting that many targets.
He seems legit, though. He should have had a touchdown on, like, the first play from scrimmage for the Packers in week one, dropped a long bomb from Rodgers, and he was dealing with injuries. But when he's been healthy, which has just been as of late.
Pretty much the last 2 weeks.
looks pretty legit for a rookie. And, you know, he went to the small school in North Dakota State, right?
But, let me ask you this.
He's got the pedigree.
Give me a sense of how valuable Christian Watson is from a dynasty or Empire League standpoint as you're projecting forward. How valuable is Christian Watson?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. He's probably still in the third or fourth range among the last year's rookie wide receivers just because we don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be next year.
He certainly leapfrogged the Sky Moores who were getting drafted before him in rookie drafts.
And, yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. I still rank him below Pickens and London and Olave, but he's knocking on the door with those guys for sure.
He is. The explosive play potential is very big for Christian Watson.
Romeo Doubs has been out, too. Actually, he might have just been usurped.
Yeah, well, yeah, hard to know yet, right? Yeah,
hard to
but
know.
When Doubs comes back,
yeah,
then this thing gets really, really interesting because he was very promising.
Yes.
So I don't think this is very clear, and I certainly don't expect these last two games to be representative of what Christian Watson's going to do the rest of.
Is that a record, by the way? 5 touchdowns in 5 days?
Has to be.
I don't know. Might be. I mean, that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we come back, hour number 2, 3 tough questions. You can play along, see if you can go 3-0 with our panel of experts. And if you missed any part of the show and you want to read up on our player rankings, go to guillotineleagues.com where you can find all the information you need to know about the players this week, the rankings, and why we've got them ranked. guillotineleagues.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Number 2, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian with you. My co-hosts are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. This is a game we call 3 Tough Questions. You can play along. Try to go 3-0 against our panel of experts. We begin with
Tough Question Number 1.
Kadarius Toney's rest of season. Is he A, wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, flex, or bench player? We begin with Scott Fish.
Yeah, I think Juju's going to be back after this week. I can't imagine that concussion keeping him out much more than this week.
Not.
So I went with flex. I could see it getting all the way to wide receiver 2. We saw every metric about him grow from week 1 to week 2. Hardman's going to be out for a while. It's just that the wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3 in this offense has rarely been very productive for fantasy. He may be better than those, and they're finding ways to get him involved on the sweeps that he took over for Hardman. And Hardman had 4 straight double-digit fantasy days before going to IR, but I don't think that's going to be very consistent. I have it as a flex, but you're going to get some wide receiver 2 games out of it, too.
All right. Brian, Kadarius Toney's rest of season, is he a wide receiver 1, a wide receiver 2, flex, or bench?
I don't have much to add to what Scott said. Definitely not wide receiver 1 with Travis Kelce on your team. He's wide receiver 1 for the Chiefs. if Juju remains out, I would go wide receiver two, but I'm going flex. But man, he is borderline wide receiver two. You really don't see many guys who are able to like stop on a dime like Kadarius Toney can and change direction and with the speed. Like Tyreek Hill is the only comparable receiver I can think of, and he fared pretty well in his days in Kansas City. But I'm
so
go
you're officially calling Kadarius Toney Tyreek Hill.
I love
he's got that. He's got that upside. I'm not saying he's going to get there this year, but he looks pretty comparable to me.
I love Travis Kelce shaking his head. I don't know how New York let him out of the building.
Yeah. I'm not factoring that comment.
Right.
Because players say that stuff all the time, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah.
Do you think, co-host, it was a coincidence that Kadarius Toney suddenly showed up in the box score in a game in which Juju Smith-Schuster got knocked out in the first drive and Mecole Hardman did not play?
Yep.
No coincidence.
It's not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence.
Of course.
Even then, his snap count was just 44% of the snaps.
Yep.
So it wasn't that high. And here's the thing that I really can't get past. Once everybody's back healthy, which should be as early as next week. Well, Mecole Hardman not, but Juju comes back. In the Patrick Mahomes era, he will put guys on games that make them look amazing. Yep. And you're like, oh, man, Mecole Hardman, that guy's going to be a game changer for the next 5 years. And he doesn't do anything for the next 5 games. So in all probability, what awaits Toney once Juju and especially Hardman come back is just a timeshare with inconsistent results because that's what this position always does.
I can distinctly remember like 4 plays that Toney has made in his very short career with the Giants and the Chiefs. I don't remember anything that Juju Smith-Schuster or Mecole Hardman has done. But
that's I'm taking all the fun out of fantasy football.
Are,
I admit it. I am the Ticketmaster.
You're no fun, Charge. No
Swift.
Fun.
Flex is the correct answer for Kadarius
Toney.
Tough
question number two.
You got it right anyway.
So did I. Yeah.
With Damian Harris returning to full health for the rest of the season, is Ramondre Stevenson a running back one, running back two, flex, or bench? Brian Johnson.
Stevenson averaging more than 5 yards per touch, while Harris has averaged nearly a yard less per touch. That's pretty significant. Stevenson also the much better pass catcher. So we should stay more productive moving forward, even with Harris healthy. That said, Harris will eat into Stevenson's snaps, but New England is top eight in rushing play percentage. So there's plenty to go around. I still think Stevenson gets his 15 carries with 4 to 5 targets, catches per game. So I'm going RB2 rest of the way, even with Harris back.
Okay. Scott, rest of season with Damian Harris returning. Ramondre Stevenson is an RB1, an RB2, flex or bench.
Yeah, so Ram Stevenson has outsnapped Harris in every game since week one. Obviously, the games Harris didn't play the whole game or missed, Ram had large workloads. But he did that also in some of the games that Harris fully played. I actually view the start of the season to be what we may see the rest of the season, where Harris has some games he's little used and some games it's more of a split. Ramondre's RB12 right now, even with a pretty decent downgrade, I don't know that he gets past RB24 in the volume that New England runs the ball and the goal line looks New England gives running backs. I have him as an RB2.
I love Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah,
I love that guy, and I think he's a special back.
I was talking to him the other day.
But,
he feels the same way
about
you.
And he starts himself in his fantasy league.
Probably.
But here comes Damian Harris with fresh legs. In a luxury in mid-November. In the opening month of the season, when Harris was healthy and it was a shared backfield, he was Bill Belichick's lead back with more carries, more yards, and more touchdowns than Stevenson. And we've seen Belichick backfields take unexpected, weird turns many, many times.
Hi, Jonas Gray.
And I am not ready to count out Harris at all. And also this, Damian Harris is a really good back. So
is
Stevenson.
He is good.
Damian Harris is a good back. He's going to knock Stevenson back to the same flex play that he was in September when this was a shared backfield and they were getting roughly the same work, but Harris was getting more. And even though I'm Team Stevenson, I just think the reality of it is when I take off my emotional cap on this and I just look at this shared backfield, I think Damian Harris is going to end up eating into too much of Stevenson's time for him to be a sure RB2. Correct answer, flex.
Tough question number three.
This is the no fun version of.
I know. Why do I have to be the wet blanket?
What's the title of this show? It's got to
be the wet
no fun charge. Yeah, wet blanket.
Exactly.
Show.
Should we drop? Let me start over.
Tough question number three.
Should we drop Dallas Goedert or stick it out with him on our roster? Scott?
Yeah, I'm sticking this out. If he's able to heal, their tight ends are terrible this year. If he's able to heal up in a month and be back for week 15, your week 15, 16, 17 fantasy playoffs, he's worth it. The two caveats here are, is the injury one that he may take time getting back after that or miss more weeks than the initial four?
Yep, it's a shoulder.
It's coin flip. Mm-hmm. Coin flip. It's possible. The other one is,
do you need a shoulder to catch a pass?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Especially the high pointing that he does a lot. Will the Eagles be locked into a one seed by that point and they'll keep him resting 4 weeks away from the playoffs? I don't know that that's quite the case. Maybe later on if it takes him longer. So those are two things that can do that. But honestly, if you're dropping him for a guy like Trestan Ebner or something, no. If you see a Kadarius Toney on the free agency, sure, do it. But in most cases, I say no. Just hold on to Dallas Goedert for this for the moment.
So your answer is no.
Yeah, that was a super long-winded.
You're saying hold Dallas Goedert.
Hold.
All right, Brian.
Hold.
Should we drop Dallas Goedert or stick it out?
Hold. The end. I don't have much to add.
I talked for 14 minutes.
We've seen guys come back from shoulder injuries, running backs, wide receivers, and they're fine when they come back. It's the lower leg injuries that you're really skeptical about when they come back from injury, and that's not the case with Goddard. Azar, if you were rostering him, your team is pretty decent, and you'll have a shot in the playoffs, and if he comes back healthy, you're going to want to start him, so hold him.
You know, we're not doctors here, but just, you know, the reality is people have to make this decision this week on Dallas Goedert. And, you know, as you mentioned, the earliest he can come back is week 15. The 8-1 Eagles have Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah.
They care a lot more about having a healthy Dallas Goedert in January than they do in December. So there's no need to rush him back at less than full health. So week 15
number one
could
seed?
Be unrealistic. I don't, you know. Who knows? They may even be. They may have.
In Minnesota right now. You don't.
they want to. I don't think the seeding makes any difference here. I don't think it does. It's all about winning in January. Mm-hmm. Is all that the Eagles should be caring about right here.
I think that's fair.
Tough call, but you know, when healthy, Goddard is one of three reliable fantasy tight ends. That's so valuable in this league. And yes, he's going to soak up a roster spot, and maybe you would turn that roster spot into tight end help, but you probably aren't going to because there probably just isn't that much tight end help to be had out there on the waiver wire. So while you might be able to drop him and find help, I think in most cases, Goddard's just way too valuable to drop in the event that he does come back for your fantasy playoffs. That said, I think week 15 sounds optimistic.
So your answer is do not drop Dallas.
Don't Carter. Drop Dallas.
There you go.
Yeah, and I took a circuitous route to get there as well.
Yeah, we all did.
Rams Except take on the Brian. Saints, Brian. They lose Cooper Kupp, but they get back Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, so that doesn't really matter much without Cooper Kupp. So I got Stafford on the bench, has returned to full practice, should make his return. But without Cooper Kupp, I got to put Stafford on the bench because I only have one starting grade on any of his pass catchers, and that was Allen Robinson, who might take a chance on me. Wide receiver, Van Jefferson, Ben Skowronek, Brandon Powell, Lance McCutcheon, they're all on the bench. And surprisingly, in the tight end wasteland, I do have Tyler Higbee on the bench. The Rams' offensive line is...
They just had two more injuries this week.
It's on life support. So Higbee's going to be doing a lot of blocking. Yes, there are more targets that are going to be spread around with Kupp sideline, but the Saints have allowed just one tight end touchdown all season, and not one lone tight end has topped 50 yards against them. So I'm benching Higbee this week, and I'm also benching all of the Rams running backs, Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers, Kyren Williams.
Geez.
I've got some stuff to read here, but I'm not going to do it. Just put there on the
Thank
bench.
You.
Remember last year when we were throwing down automatic A's on a bunch of Rams?
I know.
Well, yeah, Rams-Saints used to sound like the sexiest matchup in the world, but not in this game. A few more starting grades for the Saints, so we'll go over to them. Not great ones, though. Alvin Kamara, just to see, the Saints are going to be without three starters on their offensive line. But the silver lining for Kamara is the receiving angle here. Over their last four games, the Rams have allowed 7-plus catches and nearly 60 receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. So you know what? I'll give Kamara a B in PPR and a C in standard for those reasons.
I'm nervous about Kamara.
You got to be. But, man, he can pop off in any matchup, really. Chris Olave gets a C. The Rams allow the lowest ADOT average depth of target in the league at 5.5 yards, which does not bode well for Olave's game, who should also see plenty of coverage from Jalen Ramsey, who has not allowed a touchdown in his coverage since week two. But over his last two games, Ramsey has surrendered 92 and 71 yards in his coverage. So Olave startable with the C. Jarvis Landry, not, though. He is on the bench. He actually led the Saints wide receivers in targets last week with six, which is encouraging moving forward, but not this week. The Rams have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to slot wide receivers this year. Over to the tight ends, Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson, got them both on the bench. They're just going to be doing a ton of blocking with that banged-up offensive line, and the Rams have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends this season. Saying that, watch Taysom Hill rush for four touchdowns in this game. But if you want to chase crazy upside, play Taysom Hill. Have fun. And then Andy Dalton, he's on the bench. I think one game inside the top 18 quarterbacks this year. I want Jameis Winston back, even though it doesn't bode well for Kamara. I'm tired of
I think Kamara is a bench. This is an offensive line missing three starters this week. I am very nervous.
He's going to catch 10 passes.
Went on IR.
He's going to catch 10 passes.
I don't know. I think you're a lot more optimistic on Kamara than I am.
We'll revisit this next week.
Yeah, feel free. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's jump into Cowboys taking on the Vikings. Cowboys-Vikings, plenty of fantasy implications all over the board here, but some key injuries that could play into the outcome here. You know what to do about Justin Jefferson. What about some of the more fringy players in this game?
So Dallas Goedert managers want to root for the Vikings because the Eagles want the number one seed regardless of what you guys say.
I'm sure they take it, but I don't think they're going to put their prize tight end at risk to get there.
We'll see.
We'll find out. We'll learn more about Cowboys-Vikings when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish, Brian Johnson with you. We've got a big block of matchups coming at you right now, beginning with the Cowboys taking on the Vikings. I want to start with Dak Prescott because this is a fantastic opportunity for him. Vikings have surrendered 300 or more passing yards and or multiple passing touchdowns in four straight games. And the Vikings suddenly very thin at cornerback. Cameron Dantzler placed on IR. His backup, Caleb Evans, has been ruled out of this game. This is a great opportunity and a game plan that should lean strongly to the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott is a very safe start and an A grade for him. My top-ranked wide receiver of this week is CeeDee Lamb. Now, I can give him the fantasy aardvark. Who is aardvark? I can give aardvark.
No, everybody can use aardvark.
Aardvark is universal.
It's aardvark universal. Is universal, Matt.
I love CeeDee Lamb this week. Over the past 5 weeks, the Vikings have allowed the most receptions, the most yards to opposing receivers, along with five total touchdowns. Minnesota has one good cornerback, Patrick Peterson. CeeDee Lamb only runs 18% of his routes on Patrick Peterson's side of the field. The other 82% are against a struggling slot corner or a fourth string cornerback. CeeDee Lamb is phenomenally suited for a big game here. Also, really like Dalton Schultz. Since Dak Prescott has been back and Schultz now finally healthy, and they came back at about basically the same time, at least five receptions and 50 receiving yards in every game, plus finally got on the scoreboard last week with his first touchdown of the year. Vikings are middle of the pack in most tight end metrics on the season, but lately they've given up some big games to tight ends. Dawson Knox, Zach Ertz, Mike Gesicki, all good games. Dalton Schultz, B grade. Michael Gallup startable here as well. He runs from the outside, where sometimes he will get that Patrick Peterson matchup, which I mentioned, which is bad. But then when he goes to the other side, he'll get either journeyman Duke Shelley, who I mentioned before, fifth stringer. Rookie Andrew Booth, arguably also fifth stringer, making his second ever start. Those are good matchups for Michael Gallup. Startable here for sure. And Noah Brown's the only receiver I'm not going to put a letter grade on, although I wouldn't be surprised if he did okay, but he just hasn't gotten enough looks since Gallup's return. Let's talk about Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. Elliott expected to come back in this one, but it waters down the prospects for both guys a lot, and it's a very tough matchup for either one. Week four was the last time a running back hit 50 yards on the ground against the Vikings, and in those 5 weeks, running backs are averaging less than 3 yards per carry. Vikings are Pro Football Focus's number two ranked run defense. Pollard's been way more effective than Zeke, and he's healthier than Zeke, and he's my preferred starter here. But the reason I'm going to give a C grade to Pollard and a C grade to Zeke is that Zeke gets most of the goal line work, and you could hope for a touchdown here. So I'm going to give Zeke a C grade in a bye week, in which I might otherwise give him a bench grade. Let's go to the Vikings side. Justin Jefferson's an obvious A grade. The toe injury appears to be okay, and he's removed from the injury list on Friday, so he should be good to go. Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. Dallas has got a very talented secondary, but they are risk takers, and that's led to them allowing multiple touchdown passes in three of the last four games. The main area of concern for Cousins is the pressure he's going to take in the pocket. They do expect left tackle Christian Darrisaw to return for this game, and that's huge.
Yeah, he's completely off the injury report.
Yeah, so. And that's I mean, without him, I'd have been very worried about Cousins, but as a result, I think we're okay here. The Cowboys defense has averaged a sack every 9 pass attempts, which is insane. Unbelievably good. They have registered the most sacks among all teams, as you would have guessed. Kirk Cousins, I've got a B grade on here. He takes a 39-game streak of games with a touchdown pass into this matchup.
I saw the Vikings have scored a touchdown in 86 straight, which is the fifth longest streak in NFL history.
Really? Wow. Yeah. All right. Kirk has single-handedly powered half of those games. TJ Hockenson's got a B grade in this one. Since Hockenson's trade to the Vikings, he's been the second most targeted tight end in the league behind only Travis Kelce. Mm. Pretty impressive. He also leads all tight ends in red zone targets since the trade. Unfortunately, though, this is a tough matchup against a good Cowboys defense that has allowed the third fewest fantasy points and just one touchdown to tight ends. And that turns Hockenson from what would have been an A grade into a B grade this week. Adam Thielen also startable here. Vikings announcer Paul Allen told me today that he expects Thielen to have a very sizable role
in this game. The world-famous Paul Allen.
Internet sensation. Viral sensation. LeBron James. Paul Allen.
Yes.
I've been bragging that I have his phone number. I won't give it out, though.
I think you should.
Maybe for the right price.
He runs from all over the field, Thielen, not Paul Allen. Runs from all over the field. LeBron James probably could. But most often on the side of the field, manned by cornerback Anthony Brown, assuming he gets through his concussion protocol. Brown's bad. Just like last year, he's allowed the ninth most receiving yards and the ninth most, and he's allowed touchdowns in back-to-back games. Thielen logs in with a C here, and unless you think Paul Allen has got particularly keen insight, then you could give him a B grade.
Hmm.
Dalvin Cook is the only Viking we haven't mentioned yet. A grade. He has scored in 5 straight games, powered by big plays, more consistent chain-moving plays than necessarily I'd like to get a more consistent chain moving plays. It's really the big plays that he's been helped with. Dallas has given up at least 100 rushing yards and a score to running backs in three of four games, including getting pummeled for over 150 rushing yards in each of the last two games. This is going to be a very Dalvin Cook-heavy game plan, right? So you've got Dallas is great at rushing the quarterback. The things can go haywire a lot of ways to get when you throw the ball. Dalvin Cook's sitting on a lot of volume in this game, and I like him with an A grade. Let's go to the Raiders taking on the Broncos. Scott, this is a Raiders offense that's been highly dysfunctional, but a Broncos defense that's mostly been very good.
Yeah, mostly. They're the number one pass defense against the pass, allowing the fewest passing yards and fewest passing touchdowns. Just six passing touchdowns on the season
that's
allowed.
Crazy. Nobody's close to that.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So I have Carr on the bench. He's been a fine 240-yard, 1-2-score guy, but this is a bad spot for him. I do still have Devontae Adams with an A grade because he's had an A level game in all but one game, and that was the game he was sick all week leading up to. He does have a slight abdomen injury this week, but I'm not too worried about it from all reports, so I still have an A grade on him. Mac Hollins is back to the bench. He went 2-for-18 last week with Waller and Renfro out. That he had that one huge 150 plus day, but all the other days, even with players out, he's done virtually nothing. I will say this is the number one pass D against both outside receivers and slot receivers. So I have basically everyone else besides Adam on the bench. Foster Morrow, I have a bench grade on him, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's been a 3-for-40 type guy with Waller out. This is a Broncos team that just allowed 62 yards in a score to Titans last week, 82 yards the week before. Interesting pickup there. He's got a matchup with the Seahawks next week.
Yeah.
That's
planning ahead a little bit. Then.
Yeah, so that might be a pre-spec. I'm going to change my pre-spec, but no, I'm not going to. Go get Morrow for the next week's matchup. Josh Jacobs, a B grade here. He took 33 touches for 175 yards against this same team in week four. It's not hard to envision another day in the high 20s against them. I will say, though, this Broncos run D, they held Derrick Henry down, Breece Hall, somehow Damian Pierce, Austin Eckler.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, all those guys under 80 yards, but Josh Jacobs took him to the house. The pure volume and the fact that he already did it, I'm giving a B grade to Josh Jacobs, even in this tough matchup. He already did it once. Russell Wilson on the other side. I hate to do it, but I got to give him a C grade. It's too good of a matchup.
It is. It's such a good matchup. Did you guys see that Wilson got hit 19 times last week?
I didn't see that.
19 hits. Oh, also, did you see this? There's a report from one of the Denver sports talk radio hosts saying that he's heard that Russell Wilson is calling out audibles from the Seahawks playbook.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Imagine you're Tyler Lockett, and he calls an audible for a playbook you don't know. What do I do?
Or Cortland Sutton. Yeah, that's that'd be crazy. Yeah.
What
wow.
I say? Tyler Lockett, wrong side of the field. Darn it.
Yes.
Well, Tyler Lockett would understand if he was in the stands.
You pulled a Russell Wilson.
Or on just the did.
Opposing sideline.
You're right. I just did exactly what Russell Wilson does.
I have a theory that Drew Locke was included in that trade for Russell Wilson, so there wouldn't be a quarterback controversy. The Raiders are the fifth best matchup for fantasy quarterbacks, having allowed multiple scores in all but one game. They also allow 260 yards per game, and they've even allowed four rushing touchdowns per game. Russell Wilson got one of those in the previous game that they played. Fifth most passing touchdowns allowed. I mean, this is a great spot for Wilson, but all those averages are light years above Russell Wilson's average of 247 yards and 0.88 touchdowns. So I'm only giving him a C grade. I could see him squeak out better, but he's just been so bad this year. It's really tough to give him much higher than that.
No more Russell talk. Let's go.
Yes. Jerry Judy.
That was 2 minutes of Russell.
It really was. It really was. Jerry Judy has been ruled out. KJ Hamler is going to be out a little while longer. Hinton oh man, I'm Tristan Hilton. What's his name again?
Kendall Hilton.
Kendall Hinton.
Yes.
Is dealing with a shoulder injury after getting a decent amount of work last week. I have them on the bench. I only have Sutton with a B grade, and mostly because Judy and Hamler are out, and someone's got to catch balls out there. It's a byproduct of the injuries. He had 6 for 66 and a score last week.
Talk to me about Dulcich, though. That's where this gets interesting.
Yes, let's go here. He disappeared last week, but he's had double-digit fantasy days in 3 straight. Prior to that, I mentioned the injuries that are already there. He was averaging 4 catches for 60 yards on 6 targets in those. It's a better matchup, sure. We keep talking about the Broncos allowed 4 touchdowns to Kelce. You got to throw that out. But 5 other tight ends have had 50 plus and or a score. And even Kyle Granson had a great week last week against them.
Yeah.
I got a C grade on Dulcich, but
only
you could talk me,
you
could talk me into, you know, I'm a Dulcich fan. He was my number one tight end coming out of the draft. You could talk me into a B, but I don't love Russell Wilson running this offense.
No, I don't think I do either.
I have C grades on both the backs here. 4 straight lead backs have topped 115 yards on the Raiders. The Broncos don't really have a lead back. It's kind of 50-50, but Murray gets the goal line stuff. Gordon gets the receptions. This is a team that's allowing 29 touches per game, 150 combo yards per game, and a touchdown per game. You can split that up and get 2 C grades out of these two.
Oh, it'd pain me to have to start any Broncos.
It really would. I would not blame you from benching him. If I had to start one, it's probably Gordon, because I don't want to rely on the touchdown. I want to rely on the receptions.
When we come back, premature speculation. Find out the players you want to pick up this week that everybody else will be trying to pick up next week. But you got them first. Fantasy Football Weekly continues in moments.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
It is the final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, Brian Johnson with you. If you missed parts of the show and you want to go back and hear the show, obviously you can go to the podcast if you're listening over the air. If you're listening via podcast, check for this over the air. This show is available both ways, which is kind of cool. Also, you can get all of our player rankings available at guillotineleagues.com. This is a segment we like to lead with premature speculation. Players you can pick up now that other people will be trying to pick up next week. Scott, we begin with you.
Let's try putting in the mic on. Let's go with Foster Moreau. Oh, I'm just kidding. I just kind of did mention that in the last segment. Let's go with Odell Beckham Jr. He's only 30% rostered, and he has narrowed his candidate. He's cleared. He's healthy, and he's been cleared by doctors now, so he's just got to pick a team.
Pass a physical.
And the ones that he has pegged out, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Bills, like the Giants, he could either, even with the Giants, he could come in as the number one wide receiver or number two on several of those teams.
Hard to believe he'd ever be back with the Giants, isn't it?
But some decent offenses that he could jump into and actually have a decent fantasy role.
See, I'm very skeptical of what he's going to do, but I like the idea of picking
this
him
isn't
up
a Josh
and
Gordon
then, using
thing.
Him, then using him as a bargaining chip.
Sure.
Because a lot of people, name recognition alone, you can get a lot for OBJ once he gets signed. Brian, who is your premature speculation player?
They got our Raiders running back, Zamir White. Now, in the summer, we were saying it was very possible the Raiders run Josh Jacobs into the ground in his contract year.
It kind of worked out that way.
It has worked out that way, but the Raiders season is pretty much coming to an end. And I'm hoping they have the decency to not run Jacobs into the ground for no reason.
Oh, yeah. If there's any organization that's known for its innate decency, it's the Raiders.
We saw some flashes from Zamir White in the preseason. They're going to want to see what they have in him. They want to give him an extended look, or I'm assuming they're going to want to do that later in the season. So we could see Zamir White starting running back in, you know, weeks 14, 15, 16. So if you got a bench spot open, go grab Zamir White.
I have reason to believe that the tight end wasteland is here. So here's an angle for you for those that are looking deep. You may remember from back from April, Arizona drafted the first tight end off the board, Trey McBride. And, you know, at the time we're like, well, you know, we'll see you, Trey McBride, in like 3 years when Zach Ertz retires. Well, that whole timetable got moved up a lot. Last week, after Ertz got knocked out early in the game, McBride got all of the tight end work, 91% of the game snaps. Mm-hmm. And how many routes did he run?
26 of the 29 dropbacks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so they put him into coverage a ton. Or, you know, I like the opportunity for Trey McBride. Nobody's talking about this opportunity, but if you're in a spot at tight end, and this thing has some weeks to develop because Ertz is not likely to play again this year, that's an opportunity for you.
No, Ertz is done. He's done.
Yeah.
They said season ending.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's officially over.
Yep.
It's still not expected to play this year.
Yes.
I don't think I said anything wrong.
You got it right.
Can't argue that.
All right. Good. Let's go to the Bengals taking on the Steelers. Last time we saw the Bengals, Joe Mixon was scoring 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll get 5 touchdowns in this one, but he did have a good game when these teams met in week 1. He had 145 combo yards. So he gets an A here. Before their bye week last week, the Steelers had surrendered a running back touchdown in 7 consecutive games. So an A for Mixon, an A for T. Higgins. He got hurt in that week 1 game. Left early, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd both scored in that one. We know Chase is out for this one, so we should see a lot of T. Higgins in a plus matchup. Pittsburgh is allowing nearly 200 yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game to opposing wide receivers. They do get Minkah Fitzpatrick back, which factors, but with Chase out, I like Higgins a lot here. Should see a lot of volume. He gets the A. A B for Tyler Boyd. As I mentioned, he scored in the first meeting and now has 2 touchdowns in 2 of his last 3 games against the Steelers, who I also just mentioned is a pretty good matchup for wide receivers. So that's why Boyd gets the B. And so does Hayden Hurst, who has scored at least 8 PPR points in 5 of his last 6 games. That's like elite.
He's 4 catches, 40 yards pretty much every week.
He's had some touchdown upside. He had a season-high 8 targets against the Steelers back in week 1. Over their last 2 games, the Steelers have allowed more than 60 yards per game to the position, including a touchdown catch to Juwan Johnson last week. So a B for Hurst and an easy A for Burrow. Not going to get into that with all those starting grades for his pass catchers. Over to the Pittsburgh side, Najee Harris, just a C for him. His snap share has continued to drop as the season progresses, and he hasn't been nearly as effective as Jaylen Warren has with his touches. But the Bengals have softened against the run since week 5, allowing the 6th most rushing yards per game and the 2nd highest explosive run rate. So I will start Harris with the C, but I like my ticket chance of me running back a little more, and that's Jaylen Warren. So he gets
like
the
him
C. More, with
so my... you like it if it came down to one or the other?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are rostering Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren.
I think the Bengals put up a lot of points. I think the Steelers are going to put up points, and I think Warren, he does more with his touches, and he's the better pass catcher, and I think they're playing catch-up. So, yeah, if I had to pick one, I would pick Warren. And Deontay Johnson, Charge, he was your take a chance on me wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I think you could also take a chance on George Pickens. They'll give him a C. He lines up on the right side most often where he'll face Eli Apple. In Apple's last 3 games, he's allowed at least 50 yards and or a touchdown. And with cornerback Chidobe Awuzie out, it's open season on the left side against rookie Cam Taylor-Britt. We've mentioned him a couple times, who's yielded a perfect 158.3 passer rating in three games since taking over as a starter. So a C for Pickens. Also a C for Pat Freiermuth. In his three career games against Cincinnati, including that week one matchup, Muth has finished with a touchdown or at least 75 yards in every game. He's also averaging 7.6 targets with Kenny Pickett as the starter. It's not the best matchup on paper. The Bengals are allowing less than five catches and 50 yards per game to tight ends, but they did surrender a tight end to, surrender a touchdown to tight end Tommy Tremble their last time out. So Freiermuth could do the same. He gets the C, and Kenny Pickett was my take a chance on me quarterback.
Chiefs take on the Chargers on Sunday night, and there's a lot of moving parts on this thing on the Chargers side, but the Chiefs side is a lot more straightforward, where Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are A's like usual. Mahomes will be without Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, which is not trivial, but, you know, still, it's Patrick Mahomes, and you'll probably be fine here. Kadarius Toney coming off a statement game, and that was the take a chance on me player.
Yep.
For
me,
for you, Scott Fish. I gave a C grade to Kadarius Toney in this game. MVS, if fully off the injury report, he had some midweek illness. He is okay now. He's notched at least 60 yards in four of his last six games, and he's coming off his first score of the season. I like Marquez Valdes-Scantling in this game. The Chargers secondary is playing better lately, holding receivers scoreless in back-to-back games. But I like his individual matchup on the outside against Michael Davis, who gave up a season-high 65 yards last week and allows a passer rating of 106 in four of his last six starts. That is a positive individual matchup. MVS definitely startable as a bye-week fill-in for your team. Mm. Also startable in the passing game, Justin Watson.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Sneaky play here.
Dynasty leaguers love you right now.
I bet they do. We've been waiting 4 years.
Waiting.
He ran 20 more snaps than Kadarius Toney did last week. He projects as the starter in this game, running from both the slot and outside, and he's got winnable matchups at every spot. So, you know, the volume has not been there.
He's like, also been on the team for like 20 more months than Kadarius Toney.
Well, that factors in too, honestly. Yeah, I wish I could go back and go, man, he's had these like spots where Justin Watson has had these big games, but he really hasn't. It's like one and two catches.
Yep.
He's got two touchdowns on the season, but if you're in a pinch, consider Justin Watson. All right, let's go to the runners. First, let's start here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, totally phased out of this offense, just four snaps last week. Not only is he not startable here, he is absolutely droppable. He does not belong on your team. Isaiah Pacheco was my take-a-chance-on-me runner. Also startable, Jerick McKinnon, because of his increasing snap count at the expense of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is a PPR helper with six catches in back-to-back games. If he's going to get six catches in a bye week, he's scored in the first meeting between these teams. Jerick McKinnon, startable. All right, let's go to a much more complicated matchup, unfortunately, with the Chargers side of this. I think I'm going to begin with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Okay, look, you know the danger in starting both of these guys. They're rolling into this thing limited, and it's a Sunday night game.
Yep.
We have very few options in terms of flexing to somebody else if it turns out they don't go. So this is one of the biggest risk-reward moments of your entire season if you're a Mike Williams or Keenan Allen fantasy manager. Their upside is tremendous. The Chiefs are allowing the sixth most fantasy points to wide receivers, and at least one receiver gets paid in virtually every Chiefs game. The downside with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen is 0 points.
Yeah.
Like they're active and they don't play, which we've seen Keenan Allen do before. They're active and they get re-injured.
I will add this. They both logged a full practice on Friday, their first one since getting injured for both of them.
Yes.
So
that's promising.
Might be false sense of security.
But are you
going to
roll into false Sunday sense of security. Night at, you know, whatever, 7:30 Central, 8:30
right.
Eastern with those guys on board? If you're going to do it, you need to have somebody else on your roster that you can pivot to. And by the way, you can't even go to DeAndre Carter, who might not go in this game.
Yeah.
So you can't even go same game, same team.
He'll go.
Michael Bandy.
Maybe that's your angle.
Or you pick up Justin Watson, most likely.
Yeah, there. Well, yeah.
DeAndre Carter
Watson
off
might be the other
report,
guy to have on roster. Great point. Excellent point. Josh Palmer, upgrade. Right now I've got a C grade on him, but I'm not going to end up with a C grade on him at the end of this, because we're going to upgrade him to a B if Williams does not go. He runs the Williams routes. And I'm going to downgrade him to bench if Williams does go. So, you know the deal on Palmer. He's been very inconsistent, but a plus matchup. And if Williams doesn't go, he's startable with a B grade. Gerald Everett is another guy that you can't necessarily know what to do with. He's got a groin injury. He's shaping up as a game-time decision. And because it's the Sunday night game, you got all the same problems that Williams and Allen had, and you got much of the same upside. In the earlier matchup this year between these teams, Gerald Everett was targeted 10 times. So that's his upside. The downside is the risk of re-injury or him being inactive and getting you no points. Let's go to Justin Air Bear. His offensive line is killing him. I mean, from the rib injury forward, he's been a disaster so far. Since week three, Justin Air Bear averaging just one touchdown per game, and he has not hit the 300-yard mark since week four. The best news here, though, Austin Eckler's a receiver is going to have a huge game, and we love Eckler as an obvious A grade. The Chiefs have allowed the second most receptions, fourth most yards, second most receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs. You know what to do with Austin Eckler.
Yes,
obvious A grade and a C grade for Justin Air Bear.
Do we call him the Beware Bear now?
The Wear Bear? If he Beware Bear.
The Beware Bear.
I kind of like Wear Bear, though, like as if, you know, like on a full moon only. Justin, Jeff, okay. You've got to plot that out.
Is he
awesome in a full moon game? Our final matchup is the Monday Nighter. 49ers taking on the Cardinals.
Yeah, this one's an interesting one. It's a really good spot for the 49ers players especially. Get this. This is a stat from Adam Azer from CBS. The 49ers as a team average the most yards after the catch, which makes sense.
It does.
Kittle, Debo.
Yeah.
The Cardinals allow the most yards after the catch.
Juicy.
It feels like it. So giddy up here for some starting grades. Mm-hmm. Jimmy G was my take a chance on me player, so obviously I like a lot of these guys. Brandon Ayuk, the most consistent receiver on this team, at least six catches and at least 80 yards in four straight. Very reliable B-grade guy, about nine targets per game in that stretch. Cards allowing the sixth most receptions to receivers, and they including five wide receiver touchdowns in just last four games. That said, only three wide receivers have topped 80 yards this year, so they're not giving up the giant games, but they're giving up a lot of B-level grades. So I have a B grade on Ayuk. I have a B grade on Debo Samuel as well. He's been relegated to the 6 to 10 touch guy between carries and catches. Not as much boom this year, especially with McCaffrey back. But this is the first time in a bit he's been completely off the injury report with that hamstring injury, so he might be a little bit more ready to take on more work this week. George Kittle, A grade. It's death taxes and start your tight ends against the Arizona Cardinals,
who allowed
the most receptions, yards, and touchdowns to tight ends. In the running game, I have an A grade on Christian McCaffrey and a C grade on Elijah Mitchell. McCaffrey gets the pass catching. He gets the red zone work. He gets the touchdowns. He gets just as much work as Mitchell. Mitchell really just gets the runs if we're going to go on based on the one game sample size of last week.
I hope Mitchell doesn't get the runs. That would make the game very interesting.
But even at that, if we're looking at 30-ish touches for these two, Christian with the pass catching and the possible touchdowns, and 10 to 15 from Mitchell on the ground, it's still a C-level grade worth of volume in this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Over on the other side, if you have Kyler Murray or McCoy, I have them both on the bench. You cannot risk waiting till Monday night to see if Kyler Murray is going to go with a hamstring injury that might take away the running prowess.
And that's the thing, right? Even if he plays without the rushing, do you really want Kyler Murray's arm to try to get there to a fantasy victory by itself? No.
Against a 49ers defense that has held six quarterbacks under 200 yards, and really only Mahomes had a good day in this matchup.
Yeah.
So, no, I have them, whoever starts a quarterback on the bench. DeAndre Hopkins popped up with a hamstring injury and missed practice Thursday. It sounds like he's still going to go, and it's not that serious. So if he does, he's averaging nearly 12 targets per game since his return. Forget that ridiculous amount. Wide receivers getting even eight targets or more against the 49ers are averaging 7.5 catches for 90 yards. You're not benching DeAndre Hopkins. Let's move on. let's go over to Rondale Moore, who I have a B grade on.
Wow.
Moore has thrived with Marquise Brown, out averaging over 10 targets per game over the last three, at least 7 catches in each, a couple games over 90 yards. Now with Ertz out, he might see even more targets. It's a safe spot for him. 49ers D has allowed 6 wide receivers over 100 yards and or a score in just the last 3 games where they were really good earlier in the season. Marquise Brown, you're not starting him. I have him on the bench.
If he plays.
But he's been practicing, and the videos look good in practice, but I can't trust a Monday night thing, even if they say he's going to go. You got him on your bench. I also have McBride on my bench, but I want to see what he does. It's just a bad matchup against...
Yeah. 49ers are not the place for a breakout game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how he does, though. But only 2 tight ends have topped 23 yards against the 49ers. James Conner, just a C grade, mostly due to the volume. Mm-hmm. 49ers only allow 3.25 yards per carry, which is best in the NFL. Fewest rush yards allowed. No running back has topped 60 yards. Only 4 running back touchdowns allowed. That's like nothing.
It is.
But James Conner's going to get 15 plus touches. So he gets my patented volume C now with Eno Benjamin out of town.
Yes. All right. Talk to me.
I did patent it, by the way.
I'm nicely done. Yes. Getting that through the patent office is not easy.
No.
That is not easy.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Marquise Brown upon his return. Not this Monday. Let's just go next Monday forward, because without Hopkins, he was like a top 5 fantasy receiver.
Yeah.
Now, with Hopkins back, what do you think going forward?
Well, Marquise, what about Brown? Hopkins with Marquise Brown back?
Maybe that's some.
I don't know. I think they're both wide receiver 2s. I don't know if they can both be a wide receiver 1. Which
maybe Rondell Moore just disappears.
Yeah, I think Rondell Moore does disappear.
And Ertz is out, so there's targets.
Right, so that does help. I think both guys can become effective starters. I only trust Kyler Murray to keep 2 receivers active total on that team.
Quick angle, Colt McCoy stash in deep super flex leagues, because if the Cardinals lose, their season's effectively over.
Maybe.
You never know.
I don't know.
With Brown and Hopkins.
I don't know if I want Cole McCoy under any situation. But
hey, he did all right last year.
Saying. Maybe QB2 leagues. Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Best of luck going forward. If you want all of the player ratings and explanations, you can go to guillotineleagues.com. We've got all that available for free for you. Best of luck week 11. We'll talk to you next week. Week 12, playoffs looming. We're going to keep getting your team in shape for its playoff run. Stay tuned next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.